for him, and I've never been more alive because of it. I close my eyes tightly as my arms wrap up and under his, holding onto his shoulders for support as he drives into me.
Open your eyes,
he demands, grabbing my chin with his thumb and forefinger. I open my eyes to see him above me, his broad, tattooed chest, his hair hanging, just barely obstructing his vision. I peer down at his rippled abdomen to the place where we connect. I watch his muscles flex as he thrusts himself into me, the base of his shaft shiny from the aftermath of my orgasm still dripping from me onto him. He presses his thumb against my bottom lip until I part my mouth so he can pop it in. Placing it on my tongue, I do what I know turns him on. I suck on his finger as he continues pummeling into me, the force becoming stronger now.
I love being inside you. Everywhere.
He groans, the sounds of our skin slapping against each other filling the room. I feel the tightening start up again, the most beautiful, tingly sensation that climbs up my spine. Cam, I warn, gripping his flexed arms.
You're close,
he states knowingly, slowing his motions.
I'm close too.
He lays his weight on me, then rolls so we are both on our sides, still connected. He wraps my thigh around his hip as our movements turn into a slow and steady speed. I cup the side of his neck with my palm as he finds my lips, massaging his tongue along mine while his thrusts keep delivering electrical waves of pleasure. We rest our heads together, gazing into each other's eyes, feeling the immense love pouring out of one another. Oh, Cam, I love you. I cry out as he studies me, his thrusts becoming stronger now. I need you. God, I love you.
I just can't get close enough,
he says, driving deeply into me until he's filled me completely, stalling to stir himself, reaching the deepest part of me.
It's just never enough.
His hands scour my body, his fingers clawing into the flesh of my thigh on his hip, the deep groans leaving him, telling me he's losing control.
Tell me it'll always be us,
he whispers against my lips. I moan against him before opening my mouth for a kiss, capturing his lips, my kiss answering before I do. Always, forever. We stay locked in our kiss as he powers into me, the cries from my mouth muffled by his lips against mine. I lose myself to the electrifying sensation, my sex rippling with pleasure. My body convulsing as I feel myself squeeze around him, pulling everything I can from the experience. His groans intensify at my orgasm, and with a few more thrusts, he releases himself into me as his fingers dig into my back, holding me firmly to him while he fills me. He shudders as his chest heaves before his head falls back against the bed with his eyes closed. A grin toys with the corner of my lips, watching him come down from the ultimate high, the one he's always searched for but couldn't find, the one thing that seems to numb him while simultaneously making him feel exhilarated and alive. His eyes open, seeing my tender face above him. I run the backs of my fingers along the side of his face as his hand cups my neck, his thumb running along my bottom lip.
You know I can't live without you now.
The seriousness in his eyes tells me it's more than true, almost terrifyingly so. It's only terrifying because I understand it completely. I don't know how I'd ever survive another day if I didn't have him here, in the flesh with me. The thought alone makes me feel a dejection I've never known. You're my calm in the soul, crazy in the flesh. I utter the words of my favorite poet to him again, this time with him conscious. His smile widens at the poem, his face seemingly nervous at the mention of it as he toys with his lip ring. What? Why are you looking like that? I ask, getting all self-conscious for actually saying it out loud. He looks down at his chest between us, then back into my eyes. It's then that I see it. The words inked onto his skin across his chest. It's barely visible between all the other tattoos, but there it is, etched onto him over his heart. I touch the words, my mouth dropping open in confusion. What? When? How?
I heard you that morning. You whispered the words into my ear when you thought I was asleep, and I knew then that you loved me in the same crazy, uncontrollable way that I love you. When I left that morning to get your car fixed, I stopped at my guy's shop. Knew I needed it on me. Forever.
Seriously? I'm in total shock. How did I not see it until now? How could I not have known he heard me? My insides stir with a deep, understood love.
You wanted me to show you my scars. Well, you're covering them, Cole. All of them.
The pressure gripping my heart is a feeling unmatched. He inked me into his story even before knowing if I'd stay. Needing to permanently cement something he couldn't believe for himself was real. But it is real. All of this. Us. 38. Veracity and Character. I wake up to Hawk sleeping on my chest. The way his body drapes over mine, his head on my chest, his arms wrapped around me, is heartwarming and heartbreaking in the same sense. This broken, sweet man clings to me even in his dreams. I can't wait for him to finally realize he's it for me. The day he finally feels his heart and his secrets are safe with me will be my happiest. I stroke his hair, combing through it with my fingers, cradling him tightly to me. I want nothing more than to hold and comfort him, loving him every second I'm given. We sit like that for at least an hour while he sleeps. I don't want to move. I don't want to wake him out of his blissful slumber. But it's out of my control when my phone rings on the desk nearby. His head pops up slightly, his squinted eyes looking for the sound. I shush him and press his cheek back against my chest, running my fingers through his hair as I let it ring and ring. I know who it is. He sighs against me, relaxing again for a moment, squeezing me between his arms, releasing a tiny groan before popping his head back up.
He won't stop until he knows where you are,
he says with a raspy tone. I look down at my fingers still threading through his hair, swallowing uncomfortably. You're right, I whisper. Hawk sits up, leaving the warm space beside me. He heads towards the side of the bed and changes into his jeans before sitting back down on the edge, facing the wall. He rakes his hands through his hair, resting his elbows on his knees. The sight breaks me. I grab the sheet, clinging it to my body as I walk to the other side of the bed, changing into my clothes for the day. Amidst yesterday's chaos, I didn't realize what I was grabbing, so I put on a black t-shirt and flowy miniskirt and quickly fluffed my mess of hair. At least my chucks match. I crawl to him across the mattress, scooting closer to throw myself around him, draping my arms over his, firmly pressing my front against his back. His hand comes up, holding my forearm to him, embracing my hold. I litter him with kisses along his neck and on his ear before whispering, I love you and you alone. He sighs again, turning to face me with a weak grin.
Oh, I know, baby, it's not that. I know how you feel, how you felt. It's just everything else you don't know.
He says, reluctantly looking up into my eyes. He wants to tell me. He needs to tell me. Especially before going back to face Patrick. I feel the heaviness of this moment, the pain and regret in his eyes. I know he wishes he wasn't the one to tell me. But it's time I find out about the things he said would change everything. Tell me, Cam. Tell me everything that happened that night. I can tell he's reluctant, but he needs to, for me to finally understand. I've come this far alone, figuring out that it couldn't have been Hawk who killed Ben. He'd never act so reckless when it meant someone he loved was involved. But the rest, I'd never know, unless told by someone who was there, in the flesh, the only witness telling the truth of the entire event. With a deep breath, he unleashes it all.
Believe it or not, Patrick and I used to hang out, not by choice. I always thought he was kind of a prick, but Ben always told me to give people a chance, to not be so hard on him, that it was bad for me more than anything. Ben was literally the nicest guy I've ever known. He connected people wherever he went. He always saw the good in everyone and brought it out of them when he was in their presence. He was so vibrant, so positive, so full of energy. Everything I'm organically not.
He scoffs at the last part, making me smile. He sounded amazing, I reply with a sad smile, wishing I'd had the chance to meet the special guy that makes Cameron light up the way he does when he talks about him.
After a football game, one Friday night, we all went out to their family cabin to celebrate him playing his first varsity game.
Wait, the cabin? The one you guys still go to?
Yep.
He nods.
After everything that happened, Ben's parents gave the cabin to his older brother, Mark. Signed it over and everything. They didn't want it anymore after losing him. Too many memories, I guess. But his brother moved out of state and some of his friends rented out the place. It's kind of just a party pad now.
Sad, I say without thinking.
It is.
Hawk responds, looking sorrowful.
Ben wouldn't like it.
I clutch his hand in mine as he continues.
Anyway, we went to the cabin, partied it up. I mean, we were kids at the time trying to hang with the older crew. We drank, I did coke, got fucked up. Ben was drunk.
I see his face holding the pain of the memory he's spilling onto me. His breathing becomes shallow as he stares down at this little tear in the blue-colored carpet next to the bed. I stroke my hand down his back, attempting to soothe him the best I can.
We were out most of the night. Ben's mom was calling him nonstop, knowing he was with his brother and probably getting into trouble. Patrick was out there with some of the other football guys, but after realizing they were too drunk to leave, he asked Ben if he could get a ride with him.
But wasn't Ben drinking?
Right, and so was I. We were in no position to drive, and we knew it. We'd planned to just crash there, but Patrick came up to us while we were outside by ourselves having a smoke and started begging Ben to head out early. He was hounding him, told him he'd drive his car since he hadn't been drinking, saying he'd drop us off so he could get home for his curfew. He was freaking out about it.
Hawk's eyes narrow at the floor, remembering. My jaw tightens hearing this story, already knowing how this is about to play out. Knowing Patrick and knowing his family, I can imagine him on the edge of paranoia for making the mistake of being stranded at a cabin party, leaving himself vulnerable, selfishly doing whatever it took to get home. A sick feeling takes over me, paired with a wave of anger that is uncontrolled.
Ben, being the nice guy that he was, asked if I was cool with leaving early since we came there together in his car and he was my ride, promising me he'd find some girls for us on a different night. He was always thinking of others before himself.
A tiny grin pulls at his lips. I smile slightly at the idea of a young Hawk scouting for girls with his best friend, before my smile drops at his sudden pause. He takes a breath, seemingly trying to calm himself while he stares at the little tear in the carpet again, almost needing to focus on it. Needing something to remove the horrifying visuals his mind is playing out before him. His mouth opens to talk, but he stalls for a moment, the seconds feeling heavier than before.
I made the biggest mistake of my life by agreeing to go. I should have put up a fight, told Ben to stop being a fucking people pleaser, anything to make him focus on himself and what he needed to do for once. But that wasn't him. He was the guy that would do anything for anyone. And Patrick fucking knew it and took full advantage of that.
His eyes connect with mine, looking deeply into the part of me that knows that side of him exists too. It's also obvious, sickeningly so. I feel where this is going, and it's giving me an achingly cold chill down my spine.
We get in the car, Patrick driving, Ben in the passenger seat, and my fucked up ass laying down in the back. A few miles into the drive, I started to question how sober Patrick actually was. Mind you, I was lit, and yet I could still tell shit wasn't right.
What was he doing? I question, grabbing his hand in mine again, weaving my fingers through for some sort of support.
He was swerving a bit, went over the median for a second, then hit the hazard strips, making that loud noise under the tires. I remember hearing that.
He was drunk, I state, shaking my head in disbelief.
I don't know for sure. I didn't see him drinking at the party, but I also wasn't watching. No one saw us leave together because I was outside smoking at the time.
So, no one could confirm that he left with you guys and that he was driving, I state knowingly.
Exactly.
He nods, licking his lips. He pauses again, letting out a shaky breath, and I feel the next part of the story is the part he wishes he could forget. The part that destroyed a piece of him he'll never get back. The part where he lost Ben. It's okay. I'm right here, I whisper, leaning in closer to him. Cupping his face to plant kisses along his cheek and jaw, I hold him tightly while rubbing his arm.
It just happened so fast,
he whispers, his stare never faltering.
So fast that I'm not even sure how we got there. The next thing I remember is the car swerving out of control. It threw me into the space between the front and back seats. The car.
He pauses, closing his eyes tightly. I grip him harder, kissing his shoulder.
The car hit something and flipped. I remember being airborne at one point before hitting the roof and getting knocked out in the process. When I came to, I was alone in the car. Somehow I was all right. Bang the fuck up, yeah, bleeding from the head, but I was able to get out. I crawled my way through one of the broken windows in the back, looking around for them.
I quickly wipe away the tears that are falling from my eyes. I can visualize everything in my mind as he's telling me the story. The agony of it all hurts me, too.
I saw.
His voice cracks as he stops himself, pinching the bridge between his nose to let out a breath.
I saw Ben laying over by a tree. He had been thrown from the car, had a deep gash on the side of his abdomen, and his head was bleeding. He looked like...
He pauses to catch his breath again. It's okay, I whisper again, shaking my head, not needing him to continue.
I ran to him, picked him up, and held him as he was struggling to breathe. I lied to him. I told him it would be all right, that I'd get help, but his eyes told me he knew he wouldn't make it. Somehow he'd already accepted it.
He bends over into his hands, breathing through the tears, his hands shaking, before running them through his hair and cursing.
Fuck!
I'm here. It's okay. It's okay. I continue whispering, holding on to him as he grips my arm, needing to hang on.
He died in my arms, Cole.
He cries out, the anguish in his tone echoing the unfairness of it all.
I always wondered what his last thoughts were, and as sad as it is, I think he was more worried about me than himself, even as he lay dying.
He loses himself for a moment, wincing his eyes in pain at the memory of that last look. A look of concern for the friend he knew best. Ben was dying and worried about Hawk, worried about how he'd take it, how he'd be able to move on without him, almost like he knew Hawk would fall apart on his own and head down a dark trail of deep suffering and loss. The thought tells me all I need to know about who Ben was to Hawk. He was the brother he never had, the only family that looked out for him. Someone who cared for who he was so deeply, was gone in a second.
I wish it would have been me. It should have been me. Ben was good, a better man than me.
He shakes his head, curling his fist and pressing it to his skull, attempting to withdraw the hurt. After a minute of getting himself together again, his sadness slowly phases into something else entirely. Anger. A deep-rooted anger that's been so deeply repressed.
I saw him standing there on the road, out of the corner of my eye.
He doesn't even need to tell me who. I know he's talking about Patrick.
He just stood there, watching. I screamed at him at the top of my lungs, wiping the blood out of my eyes to look at him and his. I demanded he go call someone, go do something, anything, but he was just frozen in fear. Fear of knowing what he'd done.
This is the part that has Hawk tied to Patrick in ways he wished he never was. The part that's holding him hostage in a situation out of his control.
Patrick killed Ben. He killed Ben and fled the scene.
39. Spineless beings. The anger and betrayal radiating off Hawk is palpable at the moment. He gets up off the bed and begins pacing, dragging his hands down his face.
A fucking murderous coward,
he growls before punching his fist into the wall, making me jump. He does it again, then leans his forehead against it, dragging his hands down the wood-paneled surface. I let him get it out. The pain. Not even trying to calm him. He needs to let this out. Needs to vent.
I've never told anyone about this before,
he says, his nostrils flaring, hands visibly shaking as he turns, falling back against the wall to face me.
I just assumed it'd die with me. I couldn't, with the agreements and all.
The agreements? An NDA? My mouth drops open as I gasp at my disgust. They had you sign a non-disclosure agreement? He walks closer to me again, finally calming down and sitting on the bed next to where I'm planted.
Patrick stood there and watched it all. He watched me fall apart over Ben, saw everything. Then as quick as it happened, he left.
He left. I repeat the phrase in almost a whisper, feeling short of breath, feeling the truth like a punch to the pit of my stomach.
He jetted out of there, ran away, left the scene, left me there, clinging to the body that used to hold my best friend. I had nothing at that moment, no one to help me, no one to tell me what to do next.
I bite my bottom lip, unable to hold back my tears at the pain he's been through alone. I wish I knew you then. I wish I could have been there for you. I wish I would have known. I cry, feeling his torture, aware of his suffering. He wraps his arms around me, pulling me into his chest and smoothing the top of my hair down. He holds me for a moment as I release my own hurt for his story.
You know, you remind me of him in that way.
I hear his heart pounding as he speaks softly, the deep hum of his voice through his chest calming me.
There's a part of you that's always thinking about me and my feelings. Somehow always understanding what I'm going through and who I am. You see the truth in people, even when you were taught not to. You saw me.
I see you, I whisper, running my fingers over his face, kissing his lips softly. I see you. A hint of an admiring smile pulls at his lips for me, and I see the relief spread through his body when he sighs. Continuing with the story.
It didn't take long for them to find us. They booked me immediately, took me in for questioning.
The thought of him being so young and vulnerable after going through such a traumatic experience, then thrown into questioning, as all of this fell upon him, kills the deepest part of my heart. He had no one.
They tested me, found alcohol, drugs. It didn't matter that I told them Patrick was there. They didn't believe me. Why would they? I was a drugged-out junkie to them looking for a way out of accidentally killing my best friend.
He shakes his head, grinding his back teeth. Didn't they at least follow up and look at Patrick as a suspect? Didn't they question him, too?
They did, but his father pulled a team together real quick in his defense. He made up an alibi, which his father confirmed. Their story was that Dean picked him up from the party and he had Patrick home at the time the accident happened. His mother confirmed it, too. It was their word against mine.
Jesus Christ, I say beneath my breath, shaking my head in disbelief. All of them were in on this.
His father convinced the guys at the station to let him talk to me, to help me and be my advisor, taking on the role of the savior to the fucked up kid in need of saving. He promised me he'd take care of things for letting me take the fall, told me he'd get the best defense attorney around to get me off with a slap on the wrist, probation in exchange for a shit ton of money to keep quiet. I'm talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, Cole.
I shake my head, seething with anger. Unbelievable. That's why you told me you don't need money. I suck in a breath, feeling lightheaded. They paid you off.
I was young and dumb. I figured I'd never get out of the situation anyway, at least not by what he told me. Agreeing to be quiet and take the money, do some community service, it just seemed like the only option at the time. He threatened me, told me without his attorney's help to get a lighter sentence, I'd be in prison, possibly for life, and that there was no way out.
So what happened then? Why didn't they get you off, like he said?
Because he never had the intention of getting a team together for me. I was left with a public defender who seemed to know less about the system than I did. I got charged with vehicular manslaughter and was given a quick 5-year sentence like it was nothing, from a judge who didn't even look me in the eye, just dismissed my case and moved on to the next.
Hawk, we have to set this straight. They need to pay, I state, anger emanating from my tone. We can't let them get away with this. He looks away from me, licking his lips in frustration.
While I admire your tenacity, there's nothing that can be done. They're powerful people. They don't pay for anything besides the checks they write.
I'm so disgusted, I rush, shaking my head. I can't believe you've been holding this in. And the house? They took control of that too. The only thing you had from your father? I can't believe I was living there with the idea that... I stop myself from continuing. The thoughts of the future I'd had in mind are now tarnished with lies and deceit, all at the cost of Hawk and the misfortunes he'd endured. It's sickening. I'm up and pacing now, pulling at the roots of my hair, trying to understand how someone could be so unbelievably cowardly and cruel. To take someone's life and then use another as collateral. I feel like I'm going to be sick. I thought I knew Patrick, but I didn't know him at all.
They offered to buy it before I served my time, knowing I still had part of the mortgage left over from my dad's passing and couldn't keep up with the payments while I was locked up. There was a clause in the agreement that I'd get the house back to ensure I'd keep my end of the bargain in the NDA throughout my sentence.
So you moved back in to ultimately regain the rights, to get your name back on the deed?
That's the fucked up part. My name's been on it the entire time. Everything was done under the table.
Both of them are simultaneously trapped in completely different ways. Patrick's been playing nice because he knows at any point in time, Hawk could kick him to the curb, unleash his lies to me, and open the floodgates to the past. Hawk's been stuck under their family, being watched since his release, making sure he's a good boy who doesn't talk. This is why Patrick was secretly planning our move to Colorado. To escape. This is why he's been working so hard to leave town, still under the wing of his father. They thought they could make it seem like they sold the property back to Hawk, so no one would question it. I stand there, in the middle of the motel room, staring at the floor, racking my brain for answers, for some way to get one over on these cowards who made a kid take the fall to keep their name in gold. Christians, my ass. These people are straight from the depths of hell itself. My phone rings again as I walk over to the table. I pick it up, ready to see Patrick's name and tell him to fuck off forever, when I see John's instead. Shit. It's John. I comment, looking up at Hawk nervously before answering. John, hey, what's up?
Hey, Nick, I need a favor.
He asks abruptly, sounding out of breath. Yeah, of course. What is it? Is everything all right?
No, not really. Anna's having some pain in her abdomen. We're not sure what's going on yet, but we're on our way to the hospital. I'm supposed to work the late shift tonight. Any chance you could fill in? I just don't know how long I'll be here, and I want to—
John, I interrupt him. Say no more. Of course I'll cover for you. You need to be there. Please just keep me posted. I'm hoping it's nothing serious.
Oh, Nick, thank you so much. I'll definitely let you know what we find out.
After saying goodbye, I turn to face Hawk. Shit. He stands, approaching me.
You're going to need to go back to the house, aren't you?
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking. The keys to the bar are there. I take a moment to look through my phone, seeing a stockpile of texts from Patrick. Tons of I'm so sorry and I know you need time messages. He's ridiculous if he thinks I'd ever take him back after how he treated me at his family's brunch. There are fingerprint bruises still on my wrist from his grasp.
Well, you're not going alone,
he states with venom on his tongue, knowing I'd be walking into the lion's den. I might have to. I mean, how do we do this? I ask, sitting on the edge of the bed now, sighing. We can't show up there together. He can't know about us. He'll call your parole officer. He'll do something to get you locked up again. I can't let that happen. He can't take you away from—
Cole, shh, 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 shh. Come here. Come here.
He says calmly, pulling me into his lap on the bed, wrapping me in his arms with the unwritten promise of never letting go.
Just breathe, baby.
I can't lose him to Patrick. I won't let him win. Hawk soothes me until I'm able to speak rationally again. I have to drive back, but I can't leave you here either. You don't have a car.
Actually,
Hawk says, looking at the time on his phone.
Kid will be here any minute to fix that problem.
Wait, what? Kid is coming to save us? The thought is hilarious.
Kid's dropping off a bike for me.
Do you really think now is the time to take up cycling? I twist my face. He laughs at my question. The first time I've seen a genuine smile in days since diving into his past. I feel butterflies throughout my body at the sight.
Not that kind of bike, babe.
I flush with embarrassment. Or maybe it's the fact that he called me babe. Like clockwork, I hear the roar of an engine outside the door. I look at Hawk as he raises his brows with excitement, smiling at me. Kid knocks on the door as Hawk lets him in. There he stands, all 6 feet of his dangly frame, his disheveled, bleach blonde hair spiking all over the place with his tattoos covering nearly every visible inch of him, his goofy grin topping off the entire idiosyncratic look.
There she is. I'm here to save you, girl,
he says with his own brand of swagger. He tips his head, narrowing his eyes at me flirtatiously as he licks his lips.
Dude, fuck off. Damn, bro, chill. It's called a joke. Besides, I see she's taken. Again.
He frowns, leaning an arm against the doorframe, looking defeated as he glances back and forth between us. I chuckle awkwardly, shrugging off the obvious. There's no Bible humping me, only Hawk.
I knew y'all were a thing long before you did. The way you were looking at him at the bar, the way he kept staring you down like a psycho, I knew y'all had to be fucking on the low. It's sexy as fuck, though, all that sneaking around.
He wiggles his eyebrows at me, and I can't help but scoff with a smile.
You're a bad girl.
Hawk rolls his eyes, speaking exasperatedly.
The keys, right here, man.
He tosses them to him, along with a rolled-up plastic bag.
What's this?
He asks, opening the bag.
Gloves, for like the vibrations and shit. You bought me motorcycle gloves?
Hawk smirks, looking down at the bag, then back at Kid in disbelief.
Thanks, man.
He gives him a man hug, patting him on the back, and I can tell their relationship is unique. Kid, while always remaining totally aloof and crazy looking, is someone who genuinely has a kind heart. The kind of person you always stay close with, even if you live different lives. The kind that has your back while you're in prison, putting money on the books, or so he's told me. You hang on to those people, because there aren't many of them. So you're dropping off a bike that you bought for Hawk. How are you getting back? I ask Kid, confused by this scenario at the moment. I don't have any idea what the plan is, but I'm here, going along with it.
Nah, I bought it from his uncle. Time I got my own ride, put some of that money to use.
Hawk grins, peering at the bike parked in the lot behind Kid.
Always wanted a classic Harley.
You ride motorcycles? My mouth is hanging open as my eyes dart back and forth between the two of them. Shit, if I wasn't turned on before, I sure as hell am now.
Oh, and I don't need a ride, if that's what you're asking.
Kid smirks at me.
I'm meeting this chick in the room over.
He points his thumb to the right. My eyebrows raise as Hawk shakes his head.
This guy will never be monogamous. That life is not in his blood. Monaga, what? Fuck no! Too many beautiful women in this world, and I want to try them all. Especially you. The forbidden fruit.
He looks at me with a devilish smile, waiting to see if I take the bait.
Get the fuck out.
Hawk says abruptly, roughly grabbing Kid's arm and pushing him towards the door. He laughs his signature hyena laugh as he's being shoved out, pressing back against Hawk to peek his head into the room one last time.
I'll be right over here if you need me, or want to listen to what I can do to a woman. You know, if you're curious.
He makes a kissy face. Hawk yanks his arm, pulling him out of the door once and for all. I bite the corner of my lip as Hawk approaches me, a protective look in his jealous eyes. The look alone gives me a tingling sensation between my legs. I like when he gets upset at Kid for hitting on me. I want him to keep doing it just to see him act out. I must be crazy. He flexes his jaw muscle, grabbing my waist and firmly pulling me into him. I suck in a breath at his sudden forcefulness, enjoying the feeling of his hard, warm body against mine again. Cupping my jaw, he looks down at me, eyeing my lips, then back to my half-lidded, lustful eyes. I'd do anything he told me at this moment. I'm totally smitten by him. My heart is his alone. With inches between us, he speaks in a low, husky tone.
Let's go for a ride.
40. Addictions. Never once growing up did I envision myself on the back of a Harley, riding through the wind, clutching onto a man with a lip ring, covered in tattoos. Yet here I am, doing what feels right, with the man that I truly love. Not the kind of love that's expected or planned, but the wild, uninhibited kind. The kind you deny and deny until it slaps you in the face and tells you your truth. We're just riding along on the highway, testing out his new purchase, forgetting our current problems. I clutch myself to him after his strict instructions to hold on to him tightly, wrapping my arms around his waist and gripping his shirt in my hands to his enjoyment. Watching his forearms flex under the ink of his tattoos, and how his large, strong hands extend as he grips the handlebars beneath his gloves, has me tingling between my thighs. Even the way he started it up so effortlessly. Okay, it wasn't that hard, but still, he's insanely attractive to me. It's exhilarating, zipping through the wooded roads, feeling like we're in our own little world. I'm riding on a high as he takes it up a notch, going over the speed limit to test it out. I squeal with delight against him, getting a jolt of adrenaline coursing through my veins as I feel the vibrations radiating throughout my core. He's a natural. He told me he used to ride a bit when he was in high school and that he always wanted his own one day. But the way he rides, it looks like he was born to do it. He drives up to an old gravel rest stop, slowing down before turning back into the little wooded area. There's a small building for a bathroom and some picnic tables nearby. It's a beautiful stop, one that many people probably never take the time to visit because why would they? It's off the main highway. It's the kind of rest stop for truckers needing a quiet night's rest. He stops the bike, resting his feet on either side of it to stabilize us before shutting it off. I removed the helmet he helped me put on, readjusting his large leather jacket down my shoulders a bit, running a hand through my unruly hair.
"Did you like it?"
he asks with raised brows, turning to face me. I blow air through my lips, shaking my head with a smile. I loved it.
"Want to drive?"
"Hell no," I shriek before laughing. "I'm terrified."
"Was the ride all right?"
he asks, suddenly nervous he took it too fast. I swing my leg over the bike, hopping off the back as he watches me, remaining straddled on it. It was. It helped me forget things for a moment. But then again, I always forget all my problems when I'm with you. He smiles shyly at me, and I love what words like that can do to him. He needs to hear more of it. However, I saunter over to him, closing the space between us. I'll be honest, I was hoping I could ride like this. He sits up straight, letting go of the handlebar, watching as I swing my leg back over, straddling the bike again, only this time facing him. I wiggle my hips against him, rubbing my crotch onto his lap as my exposed legs wrap around his thighs and hips, my arms encircling his taut core beneath the loose shirt. His lips part as he watches my every move. I lift my chin to face him with a confident grin.
Yeah, I'd end up killing us both.
He swallows as I roll my hips against him.
And I'll never let you wear a skirt again while riding. It's fucking reckless. You could have been burnt or skinned up. If anything happened to these perfect legs, I don't even want to think about it. This was fucking stupid.
His tone is angry, more at himself as his hands run slowly up the length of my exposed thighs, over the material, until he finds the top of my hips where my waist curves in. His fingers slide up and under my t-shirt, gripping the skin there as he firmly pulls me into him and thrusts his hips up. Yes, we are currently dry humping on his motorcycle. It'd be worth it. I bite the corner of my lip, grinning. Come on, let's fuck on your motorcycle. There's no one around. It'd be so easy to just slide it in. He stares at me like he's seen a ghost. His mouth is hanging open as he raises his brows, blinking in blissful confusion before knitting them together.
Who are you?
He asks cautiously, as if he's never seen me before. I giggle at his seriousness. I'm Cole, I announce proudly. Yours.
Fuck, I've turned you into a bad girl?
No. No, I think you just made me realize what I like. I lick my lips, leaning forward and eyeing his.
Yeah?
He asks with a breathy tone, his eyes growing darker by the second. My chest rises and falls more quickly between us. Yeah. He puts the kickstand out, leaning the bike into a stable position. With one hand, he scoops my hair up behind me, holding it tightly in his grasp and pulling roughly, making me gasp as he forces me to face the sky.
And what is it that you like, exactly?
He asks forcefully, his eyes inspecting my neck, my jaw, my lips, pulling my hair tightly while preparing his strike. I swallow, feeling my pulse pounding through my neck, exposing all of what he does to me.
Do you like it hard and fast?
He asks, licking up the side of my neck, making me moan.
Or soft and slow?
The way he's talking while taking his time and toying with me is sending me into a spiral. I feel my arousal between my legs, wet and ready for him just by his words alone. Hard and fast, I say breathlessly, almost unsure of what that might mean with him. He sucks on a spot on my neck, running his teeth along my skin before finding my earlobe and biting down on it, making me squirm against him.
Good, because we don't have time for slow and soft.
Cam, I moan in anticipation, feeling my panties get wet. He loosens his grip on my hair, pushing the back of my head down to face him again.
Undo my pants,
he commands, looking into my eyes. I do as he orders immediately, my fingers fidgeting with the button, feeling his stiff member beneath the fabric of the jeans he put on this morning. I open it, pulling the zipper down and apart, and look back up at him for the next order.
Good. Now lean back, pull your panties to the side.
I lean back a little, holding myself up with one hand on the bike while he holds me by the waist. Who wears a little loose miniskirt while riding a motorcycle? A girl who apparently had plans to fuck her man on it, that's who. I roll the soft material higher up my thighs, teeth sinking into my lower lip as I peel my white underwear to the side, showing him what he does to me.
Oh, fuck.
He whispers beneath his breath, eyeing my glistening center, slick from arousal.
You're so bad.
He gazes from my wetness to my eyes again. There's a darkness in his stare, a darkness that excites a new part of me, a naughty side of myself I'd never tapped into before. He makes me feel alive and bursting with an electric energy, ready to take on the world and everyone in it. He empowers me without even knowing it.
Up.
He gives me a light head nod, his tone demanding.
I want you to sit on my dick.
I lean back up as he stabilizes himself on the seat.
Take it out and spit on it.
I blink quickly while taking a breath, reaching into his boxers and letting his erection spring free. I look back up at him quickly, then back at his massive cock, feeling flushed at the sight of the drop of pre-cum on his tip. I spit down onto him as he watches in delight.
Now rub it all over.
I do as he says, before he picks me up at the waist. I wrap my legs around his torso, the heels of my boots digging into his back.
Put it in,
he demands, our mouths inches apart.
Slide down it.
I reach behind me, pulling my underwear further to the side as I line myself with the head. He grips my shoulders, pulling me down onto him, pushing the crown through, then roughly shoving the rest of his length deeply into me. I cry out at the sudden burn of my walls stretching around him. I'm still not used to his size, and by the watering of my eyes, it shows.
Oh, fuck yeah. I love you taking my whole cock.
He groans, wincing while eyeing my face, watching as I react to his force.
Oh, you like it?
Closing my eyes tightly as my mouth forms an O, I nod, unable to speak, sitting still as I accommodate his width. He takes a few breaths, tightening his jaw.
Now hang on to my shoulders.
I do as he says, gripping his shirt between my fingers as my arms wrap around his neck, our chests pressed firmly against each other. With his hands up and under my skirt, he claws at my ass, pulling me into him as he thrusts himself deeper and deeper into me.
I want you to scream,
he says as he lifts me up and down his thick length.
There's no one out here to hear you. Scream for me, Cole.
I can feel him harden even more inside of me as I cry out at his force. I'm bouncing up and down on him, using my arms as leverage around him. My slick arousal is making the pain subside, and the pleasure of him penetrating my walls relaxes me. After thrusting for a while, I feel him getting frustrated. In this position, he can't do what he needs to do. He can't do what his body is telling him. He can't fuck me the way he needs.
Lie back,
he demands, pushing my back down against the bike. Looking down at where we're connected, he groans.
Look at you, creaming all over me.
He rubs my clit with his thumb, spreading my arousal all over, causing me to pant. Bringing his thumb up to my mouth, I suck on the digit, making him shudder, his dick rock hard inside me.
Grab the handlebars behind you with both hands.
I do as he says, reaching behind me to hang on for this ride.
Tell me to stop if it's too much.
He warns before slowly wrapping both hands around my neck. My breaths are choppy as I anxiously await what's to come. He holds me in place by my neck, standing and readjusting himself. Slowly, pulling almost all the way out of me, he looks down at my body, clenching his jaw before slamming into me. I scream out at the intensity when he begins fucking me. He holds my throat, thrusting into me with hot, slick strokes, slapping against the part of my clit that's not covered by my wet underwear, hard. The pain of the bike against my back is replaced with the forceful yet electric sensation of him hitting something deep within me. I feel little sparks fly through me every time he hits it. Tiny orgasms again and again. I'm close to coming already, or maybe I already have? I can't tell anymore because this new sensation feels like one orgasm is bleeding into another. I can't tell where one starts and another ends. Everything feels so good. I've never been fucked before. Not until Hawk. The thrill of having a man control me and submitting to the endless pleasure he gives me at his will is better than anything I've ever experienced. His firm hold on my neck, a new arousing stimulant. I scream, curling my legs around his back, kneading him deep inside me as I tighten down on his cock, another orgasm racking through me.
Oh, God.
He groans, feeling what's happening. He stares into my watery eyes as his thrusts get sloppy and slower, before a deep, guttural grunt reverberates in his throat and he loses himself in me. Catching our breaths, he releases his hold on me, bending forward, licking his lips before softly kissing mine. The change in sensation, a welcomed one. His lips mold to mine, proving his love. Cam, that was... I stop to take a breath. That was so good. He sighs with a lazy grin before his face straightens, asking.
Did I hurt you?
If you did, I don't know about it yet, I say breathlessly. He chuckles at my statement, helping me up and off him and then off the bike. We readjust our clothes, walking towards one of the picnic tables to collect ourselves. He casually jumps up onto it, turning around before taking a seat on the table, his feet on the bench, as he fishes for something in his back pocket. Helping me up next to him, he pulls out a pack of cigarettes and a lighter. Lighting one up and taking a few quick pulls, he blows it out of the side of his mouth, away from me. I grin while watching as he puts the cigarette up to his lips again, before grabbing it in the middle and taking it away from him. Loving the fact that he probably thinks I'm pulling a quit smoking after school special, I put the cigarette to my lips, cocking a brow at him with a flirtatious grin, and take a pull. He stares at me for a moment, shaking his head, then pulls it away, throwing it on the ground and stomping it out.
I won't let you start this shit. I've got you addicted to enough bad habits as it is.
Please tell me you aren't calling yourself a bad habit, Hawk, I say, cocking my head, hating that it seems like he is. He shrugs, looking down at the ground, rubbing the back of his neck. I straddle his lap, placing my thighs around him again, pulling his jaw to face me. You, my love, are the only habit worth being addicted to. He sighs, his cute cheeks squished in my hands, looking at me with admiration.
Oh, how I found you, I'll never understand.
I capture his lips in a kiss, his hands moving up to cradle the back of my head gently as our tongues tangle together in beautiful harmony. But our time is up again. It's time for me to go back to the house, get my stuff, and head into work. I have to face Patrick and deal with this situation the way it ultimately needs to be dealt with. It's time for us to go face the things we keep avoiding. 41. Too much. I pull my car into the driveway, hands already shaking, chest already feeling the pressure and weight of what's to come. Patrick's car is in the driveway, and I know he's waiting inside, waiting to talk, waiting to hash things out, waiting to figure out which angle to take to win me back over. I take a shaky breath and enter the house. It feels cold, empty, deprived of the love I thought it once held. Now it's just walls and windows, encasing the lies of the past and the torment of the future. It's sad to think this was the place Hawk grew up. Had I known that initially, my entire view would have been different. What were his memories of this home? How deeply did seeing us play house in the place he grew up truly affect him? The thought irks me in such a painful and heartbreaking way.
Oh, thank God you're back.
Patrick sighs with relief near the bedroom upon my arrival. I see him standing there, near the bedroom door, and can barely look him in his eyes. He killed Ben and fled the scene. The sentence keeps repeating in my head like a broken record. He's not the person I thought I knew. It's funny how finding out the truth about someone's character makes that person suddenly repulsive to even be around. He approaches me quickly, causing me to cower into myself. Hawk grabs my arm quickly, pulling me back and away from Patrick, not even allowing a moment for him to touch me as his body covers mine, protecting me. Yes, Hawk came with me. He rode up beside me on his bike, not for a second allowing me to do this alone. He made it clear he'd never let me go near Patrick without his protection ever again. So here we stand, together, in the face of this confrontation. Patrick looks at the spot where Hawk is touching my arm, noticing how his body is positioned before me like a shield, then looks back into my eyes with confusion.
Nick, what's this? What are you doing?
He directs the last question to Hawk with an entirely different tone. An angry tone, one with authority. I asked him to be here with me while we talk, I say with false confidence. I'm trying my best to remain strong, but being in front of him again does weird things to me. I'm nervous, suddenly feeling like a child who's talking to their parents after being caught breaking curfew. I can't stand that I'm so accustomed to being weak around him.
That's not necessary. Hawk, leave.
He dismisses him, not even looking in his direction. Hawk sucks in an immediate breath, puffing his chest as his eyes narrow and nostrils flare while glaring at him. Hawk, it's okay, I stutter, catching myself, placing my arms out to stop him from attacking. Patrick cocks his head at Hawk's strange demeanor, clearly trying to assess the situation. I'm just going to have a quick talk with him. Sort this out, all right? I ask quietly, turning him by the face to look at me. Patrick's neck straightens, peering at us intently. This is hard enough, trying to coax the beast that is Hawk down. But I need to have this conversation with Patrick alone. We have to hash out our relationship. I need to end this.
No,
he states firmly, looking back at Patrick, not giving in. I take a deep breath, blowing it out through my mouth as I grab his hand to get his glare off Patrick and onto me. Hawk, please, I ask in a calm tone.
I don't know what you're even doing here. This is between us.
Patrick scoffs at our conversation before him.
She asked me to be here,
Hawk says firmly.
She's scared of you, and for good reason. I saw her fucking wrists, you bastard.
The tension between the two is building, making me nervous about how this will blow. Two lit fuses meeting in the middle of where I'm seated. Not a good outcome. Patrick's eyes fall upon my wrists now, his face changing from anger to remorse.
Nick, I'm so sorry. Typical.
Hawk scoffs, rolling his eyes.
Abuse, then apologize. Classic.
Hawk isn't wrong. It's what he does. He does or says things that hurt me and apologizes afterwards, buttering me up with flowers or gifts. I hadn't noticed how bad it was until I left it and saw it from the outside.
Let's talk.
He holds his hand out for me, ignoring Hawk altogether.
Please.
Hawk is seething beside me. I can feel the anger radiating off him just at the thought of us talking alone in a room together. It's taking everything in this man not to deck Patrick out cold. His self-control has to be one of his more amazing qualities. It's quite literally unmatched. I gently touch his upper arm again, the one protecting me, attempting to comfort him without words. He turns to face me, his demeanor physically relaxing a bit at the look in my eyes, telling him this is for the best. He's reluctant, but he seems to understand.
"I'll be right outside,"
he says, before glaring harshly at Patrick. His final stare, warning me to be cautious, is the last thing I see before he pulls his pack of cigarettes from his leather coat and walks outside. Patrick guides me into the room, closing the door behind him as I sit on the edge of the bed.
"Where were you last night? Sean's been driving all over looking for you. I was worried sick."
"Of course he was, and still is. I hate Sean. I can't even imagine the trash he and his family have been talking about me since my disappearance. I'm sure Linda is just devastated at how her perfect brunch imploded before her guests. Embarrassment of the century. I needed time away from you. Away from here," I respond, already exhausted by this conversation.
"This is ridiculous, Nick. Everything is being blown out of proportion. Can't you see that? This was just a little argument. I barely even hurt you,"
he says, picking up my hand and inspecting my wrist. I pull my hand away from his immediately, clutching it to my chest. His words weigh heavily on me. "Barely even hurt you." "Patrick," I begin nervously, "I can't do this anymore."
"Nick,"
he groans, already not taking me seriously. "I'm serious. I think it's best if we just go our separate ways." He sits down on the bed beside me and runs his hands through his hair while looking down at the floor.
"All right, I'll admit, I didn't do my best to stop Sean when he was talking about Hawk. I could have done better, all right?"
he says, as if that one moment is the reason I'm breaking up with him.
"To be honest, I don't even know why you're so set on protecting him."
"Patrick, it's so much more than that," I say, feeling an overwhelming anxiety as the words fall out of my mouth. "It's over between us." He gets up from his position on the bed, immediately walking over towards the wall where the pictures of us hang. He stands there, hands on his head, just staring at them, before grabbing one off the wall, turning to face me.
"Look at us, happy. Look at your smile. This is us, not all this drama surrounding it."
His voice cracks a bit, and I can tell he's losing the control he thought he had. "I'm not happy with you anymore," I reply bluntly.
"You are happy. You're blessed. We're blessed."
He catches himself. I shake my head, looking directly at him. "No, I'm not." He stares at me for a minute, his eyes narrowing in on my position on the edge of the bed. Startling me, he throws the picture down onto the floor with both hands, smashing the frame into tiny pieces, glass shards spreading across the carpet beneath my feet. I gasp at the sudden burst of anger, closing my eyes tightly.
"You are happy with me. Your mind is just warped with these ideas,"
he yells, his hands waving wildly in the air before him as he leans down over me. "I'm not, Patrick." I get up, walking around him to stand near the opposing wall, away from the glass, away from his controlling stance above me. "But it's more than just that." I don't know how much I should reveal for the sake of Hawk and the situation he's in. I'm scared that Patrick and his family will retaliate by taking it out on him, and I couldn't live with myself if he did. I stand with my back against the wall, my sweaty fingers interlocked before me, my head raised as I drop the truth. "I've been seeing someone else." The air seems to have left the room along with Patrick's control.
"No,"
he laughs, denying it as if he could.
"No.
I'm in love with him," I declare, my voice breaking in the middle of my sentence. He stops in place, glaring at me before stalking towards my position against the wall, the look in his eyes crazy. He's smiling at me, raising his brows as if I've told him a bad joke, clearly not taking me seriously.
"Is that right? You've fallen for someone? Really, Nick? That's where we're at?"
he asks smugly. I suck in a nervous breath as he encases me against the wall, his arms on both sides of me. "It's over, Patrick," I declare definitively, staring into his eyes. He glares at me, inches from my face, his breath coming out hot and heavy.
"No,"
he yells, punching his fist into the drywall next to me, the crumbling hole inches from my head. I close my eyes, turning my chin into my shoulder as my hands shake. I'm legitimately scared of him and what he might do. He feels like a loose cannon.
"We're not over."
He punches the space again and again, making the hole larger than before, tiny chunks of drywall falling onto my shoulder. The uncontrolled anger coming from him is terrifying me. It's like the